There was an interesting question that came up recently on Facebook asking people if they thought AI could do a better job of supervision than their actual supervisor. It's a fascinating question, and it's one that got me thinking about social media, because people can ask AI for anything. So what's the point of us trying to reach out to people via social media? And that's the question I'm going to be answering in today's podcast. Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. In today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about something that I've seen coming up quite a lot in my Facebook group. And that is people saying it's been really, really quiet recently. And even therapists who are well established and have a counselling directory profile that's been working for them for years are suddenly saying, it doesn't seem to be working for me any longer. So what's actually happening out there? Now, I do think that it's possible that AI is having an impact on where people are going for their therapy. And I was musing on this as I was swimming up and down the pool the other day, which is where I do a lot of my thinking. And I started off from a place of thinking, oh my goodness, if this is happening to therapists, what is going to happen to my business? Because obviously I work with therapists, helping them run their private practices, helping them grow their private practices. And I thought, well, if they're not getting clients, they won't have the money to be able to pay me. So what's going to happen to my particular practice? And I'm sure this is part of what's going on in your mind as well, that you're thinking, I'm not getting any inquiries. So what's going to happen to my practice? And of course, it's an existential question, really, isn't it? And we get really scared by those sorts of thoughts. But what I found, and this is the wonderful thing about exercise, as I swam up and down the pool, I actually was able to reframe what's going on. I thought I'd share it with you now, because what I realised was actually that this just means it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that I need to meet. And it's a challenge where I can think about, well, what do I need to do differently? How can I help people do things differently? And how can they adapt and evolve in the face of any changes that might be coming about because of the way AI works? And I just think it's really interesting, because I think we can get into the mindset of, oh my goodness, this isn't working. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get around this. But the difference between that mindset and a mindset of being able to make it work is just thinking about adaptation and evolving. And the reason I thought about that question of, is anybody finding AI is better than their supervisor, is because the resounding answers were actually no. And for me in particular, I said, I go to supervision and I've got it in my head that I want to do one thing. But as my supervisor listens to me and asks me questions, we may end up going down a completely different route. But somehow we always end up in a place that actually I really needed to be. And with things like AI, you can talk to it. It can help you to think. It can help give you questions perhaps that you haven't considered. But it's not really the same as being with someone who's intuitive and can pick up on so much more than just the words. Because we bring so much more to therapy than just words. And even Chloe Foster, who spoke about email counselling back in episode 89, Chloe said there, when you're getting the email, you're not just really looking at the words. It's so much more than that. And that is the human touch that we bring. So why am I talking about this today? Because this is actually the social media episode, and I'm going to be talking in a while about social media for December. So why have I brought this in now? Why am I talking about it in relation to social media? And the reason is I think that social media can be a place where you can really connect with people and where you can show them the real person. Especially now, it's no reflection on anybody. A lot of us find AI really useful, but a lot of us are using AI to write our profiles. And you do see some of the same things all the time. I always have a rant about you talking about offering a safe and confidential space. But another rant I'm going to have is by saying to the client, you're not alone. This comes up constantly. It's a real indicator that someone's used AI. So yes, AI is really useful. And I use AI with my podcast, and AI said, oh, let me write that all out for you. And I just think, no, I don't want to come onto my podcast and read a script that AI has written for me. Because that's not me, and it's not the real me that you'd be getting. And it's going to sound like every other person out there who's talking about marketing. And believe me, you are getting the real me. I am not reading this off a script. I've actually got my eyes closed because that helps me to think better. So here we are. Why is social media something that could help in this world of AI? And the reason is there's lots of reasons why social media really helps. But I think thinking about how AI might be impacting people's use of things like counselling directory. Perhaps people aren't going to counselling directory anymore. I don't know. We'll just have to watch and see. But I think it's really important for you to have more than one way that people can find out about you. And the thing about using directories, they've worked well for years. Believe me, I built my business on them. But things are changing. And I think that we need to evolve and change and adapt as well. And that's what's going to make us successful. And that's what's going to make our practices sustainable. And like it or not, one of the ways we can do that is social media. If you're not into social media, feel free to turn this off. There's other ways of working, of reaching out to people, but social media can be a really useful way. And there's several reasons for this. For a start, if you're somebody who's already on social media, you've probably got a network of friends and families who read your posts. And by posting on social media about your practice, you are reminding them that you exist and that you are a therapist. And I know a lot of you really want to curl up and die rather than tell people that you're a therapist. But if you don't tell people that you're a therapist, how can they find out about you? Something really wonderful that my great supervisor said the other day is when you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, it's really thinking about expanding your sense of safety. And if you're worried about self-disclosure, I did talk about this on my last social media episode. That's episode 86, if you want to look it up. What I shared on there was safe ways to self-disclose and maybe helping you to just gradually experiment and move that sense of safety, to expand that sense of safety to help you on social media. So being visible on social media to family and friends helps them to know about you and to maybe refer people to you. But also if you've got a counselling page and perhaps your peers, other counsellors and previous clients are following you, it helps them as well to keep you in mind, and that might result in more referrals. So you might not get people, say, DMing you from social media, but you might get people contacting you because someone has been reminded that you are available, and they've been reminded because they've seen you on social media. So that's one way that social media can actually help to keep your practice in people's minds. Another thing that it can do is it can help you to be seen as someone who knows what they're talking about. And again, this is the Good Enough Counselors podcast. I know there's going to be many of you who want to curl up and die rather than be called an expert or to have a specialism. I'm laughing, but it's because I know you and I know how you worry about these sorts of things. I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you, really. But the fact is, as I've said before, you actually know a lot more than you realise, and you don't have to be anything more than you are at the moment. You already know enough. You are already good enough. And if you get on social media and you talk about things that you've seen in the news or programmes that you've watched that talk to you about how people tick, what particular issues people have, if you're talking about those sorts of things, that will position you as someone who knows about therapy, about how people respond to events, the things that bother them, how they can feel better. So when people maybe do refer to you or are reminded about you, they'll think, yes, this person actually is a trustworthy person. And, you know, who would you rather go to? I mean, honestly, I would much rather talk to a person. And it's a way, if somebody does talk about you and refer a friend to you, they might well Google you. And if you're on social media, you will come up on that Google search and people can check you out and they can read a little bit more about you. And they might feel reassured about you. So social media can help. Number one, it helps to remind people about you. And number two, it helps people to know that you're trustworthy. The third thing is that if you're just starting out and you haven't got a website yet, sometimes social media can step in and be that website for you. So it's a place where people can come. This relates to the previous point. If you haven't got a website yet, you can go on social media, you can establish a presence there, and it can be really helpful. And also, you can actually link to your social media site from your counselling directory or Psychology Today profile, whatever you're using in terms of profiles. So it's another way of people just checking you out. So social media can really help your visibility. And being visible, it doesn't mean that you have to be the person who's shouting the loudest. I get really tangled up in this myself. I always think I've got to be the best in order for anybody to notice me. But actually, I don't, and neither do you. You don't have to be the person who posts all the stories every day, who's got everything sorted out perfectly. The most important thing is to be real. Is to be you and to speak to people about what they can expect from working with you, the things that make a difference, how they want to feel. Talk to them about the outcomes that they can expect, as well as obviously empathizing with what they're going through at the moment. Be there for people, show them who you are, show them you're trustworthy. And that will really help to draw people to you. It's not about being the loudest or the best. It's like just turning a light on in a window. It just helps you to be visible. It's November, which means bonfire night, darker evenings, and of course, Black Friday discounts. And I've got one running all month for Therapy Growth Group, my membership that helps counsellors and therapists grow their private practice with confidence. The full annual membership is normally £720, but here is where my slightly dodgy maths comes in. Because last year I offered a much bigger discount than I intended to. But it was so popular that I've decided to keep it open, but just for the first five people who take it up. That means that you can get a full year's membership for £420. That's 40% off the regular price. After those first five spots are taken, I'm still going to offer a discount, which will be 25% off. Or £540 for the year. So the offer's open until the end of November. That's the 30th, so don't leave it too late. If you'd like weekly coaching, community support, and a step-by-step way to grow your private practice, join now at josephinehughes.com and do it quickly before those first five spaces go. And now we're going to turn to thinking about social media posts for December. It is a coming up very quickly, far quicker than I usually like. And I've also got this year my husband's 60th birthday between now and Christmas. It always means that I'm late with my Christmas shopping, and I think this means I'll be even later. But anyway, let's talk about ideas for what you could use in December 2025. Like me, you're probably going to be busy, so December may not be the best time to start something new. So if you go back to episode 24, which is the Christmas social media episode from last year, I talk there about how to have posts that you're reusing so that you don't have to do too much in December. Go over your old posts and see what works well and reuse them. And that's to a certain extent what I've done here, because I went back to my old episode and I looked at the ideas for last year. Remember, you can also share other people's posts and articles. It doesn't have to be all your own work. If you find something that's really relates to you and you think it'll relate to your audience, share it and talk about why you found it helpful. So keep everything really simple in December. Make it easy on yourself. There are some great days though. So if you are starting new and you haven't got any previous posts, here's some ideas for content. For example, it's Christmas Jumper Day, and that's coming up on the 11th of December. It would be so easy to do. You take a quick snapshot of yourself. Remember, it doesn't have to be perfect, because real always beats perfect. Take a snapshot of yourself and invite other people to share photos of them in their Christmas jumpers too. That's a really quick idea that you could do. Something else that's coming up is Christmas Card Day on the 9th of December. That would be a great post for engagement, where you just say to people, do you still send Christmas cards? Because let's face it, a lot of us find it too expensive nowadays. And then another fun post for me is the Cat Herders Day on the 15th of December. And I think you could relate that to what it's like trying to herd people together at Christmas, if you're thinking about families and you work with families and couples and children. This could be something that you focus on, a humorous take on family chaos. And you could turn it into something all about boundaries and keeping your sense of humour, something like that. On a slightly more serious note, you may like to be thinking about people looking after themselves in December. And every year there's this festival of winter walks. This year, I've looked it up. I found a date that says it starts on the 20th, but in terms of the websites that I can see information about winter walking on, they don't actually put a date on it. It's all just about getting outside and enjoying a walk outside. Just for on the scientific front, remember that if we go outside, it gives us a lot more light, and we need light coming in at the moment with all this darkness that's going to be happening. Getting outside in daytime is fantastic for your mental health. That's just a little aside because I like walking so much. But yeah, so think about the Festival of Winter Walks. And on the 21st, obviously, it's the winter solstice. So that's going to be the shortest day. So there's quite a nice little link there if you do decide to talk about the winter walks on the 20th. Other things that, slightly, again, more serious, is the 2nd to the 8th of December is National Grief Awareness Week. We all know, if we help people who are grieving, that festive times can be really, really difficult times where you miss people much more. It really can amplify the absence of somebody. So think about ways to remember loved ones. Talk about the emotional impact that the festive season might be having on people. You might even want to talk about different ways of grieving and the fact that some people might not be feeling sad, and that's okay as well. So think about how you could build the festive season into your work with grief and how you could support your clients with that. There's also financial pressures around Christmas as well, and there's actually a day called Regifting Day on the 18th of December. So you might like to make that a focus for your December, talking about the way that people maybe feel under pressure and ways maybe of coping with that pressure, both practical ways or emotional ways. I'd probably focus more on the emotional ways, because the practical ways, they can just look that up on AI. But you could probably talk about how you experience it, how you've learned through working with clients, what their experience can be, and bring in your knowledge and your depth of experience, because you've worked as a therapist, into talking about the financial pressures around for the festive period. Something else that you would probably be quite skilled at talking about, because you sat and listened to it time and time again, is the way the Christmas period can impact relationships. So think about family dynamics and boundaries, and talk about that in your posts as well. What I would say is that it's so reassuring when you come across a social media post where someone is being really real and honest about what life is really like. And especially at this time of year, there's going to be all these beautiful adverts, and there is a lovely feeling, isn't there? And there is a magic of Christmas. And that's great if you can enter into it. But also, we're adults. We have other things going on in our lives as well. And we might want to make it magical for our children, but that might be difficult. Or we might feel the pressure to make it magical for other people, to join in, when we're really not feeling it. And so to come across a post that recognises this, oh gosh, that's such a relief, isn't it? So this is what you can do, and this is what so often is missing. So if you can be real, it really does make a difference to people, and it really helps them to connect with you. And they'll read your post and just think, oh, thank goodness. Here's someone who really understands. And that's the sort of impact you can have. And I'm thinking about Becky Willoughby. Becky came and spoke to us about her social media in episode 75. And what I thought was really interesting about Becky's take on social media is she said, I'm not using social media to get clients. That isn't my aim. Becky's aim in social media is to make connections with people, to help them know that they are not alone, and to really build them up, so that they have a sense of emotional connection and support. And she says she loves getting messages from people where they'll say that that really helped. It's another little take on social media that I think is worth mentioning, and especially around Christmas and the festive period, it could really make a difference to somebody. And that might actually help you feel more motivated, perhaps, to do social media. Because sometimes if you're just thinking about, oh, you know, I'm trying to sell myself, that becomes almost sort of quite egotistical. And I don't think that sits well with us as therapists. I think we find it much easier to think to ourselves, you know, I'm reaching out to someone and I'm supporting them. And if perhaps someone actually turns into a client as a result of that, well, that's fantastic, but that might not be your primary reason. I think if you can enter into it thinking, I'm here for people, I'm trying to help people here, there's something around that in the way that you write, in the way that you maybe produce a reel or whatever it is you're doing, that will shine through to people, and they'll realise you're not just trying to sell them something. They realise that you're being real and supportive. And again, that is something that AI just cannot do. So think about that. Think about how you can support people with your social media over this festive period during December, and obviously going through into January when people are thinking about their New Year's resolutions and making new habits. And I'll be back in the next social media episode that'll be coming out in December, where I go into a bit more detail about speaking to people through New Year resolutions and that terrible time we have sort of towards the end of January and the beginning of February, where it's just so dull and we're trying to get through the really horrible period where there's no light and there's no money because we've spent it all. So I'll be back, but next week will be an episode that I'm really looking forward to you listening to, which is with Erin, who's going to be coming in and speaking to us about harm in therapy. So I really hope you tune in for that, because it's been a long time coming. I recorded it in the summer, but I'm really looking forward to you hearing from Erin all about preventing harm in therapy. I'll speak to you next week. Bye for now. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.